3,500 moved to Sioux Falls.
Nobody left.
10 times the size of Lake Norden, I'm assuming. The hometown of our
30
next...
30 times.
30 times bigger. Our guest from SI.com, he is from Lake Norden, from South Dakota, Mel Antonin. Mel, great to have you back on. I suppose Lake Norden is what, 300 people?
390, I think. It might have pushed over 400 in the last census, but,
wow.
You know, right there. So it's 30 times bigger. But I remember when Sioux Falls was trying to push for 100,000 people. I remember when it was 90,000. So it's growing like crazy. What a city it is. It's a great city.
It is a great town. Mel, we appreciate you spending time with us here in Sioux Falls. You're with SI.com, great baseball writer. And the Hall of Fame voting came out today. Greg Maddux, Tom Glavin, Frank Thomas go in. Your thoughts on the voting today?
Well, it's no surprise that Maddux, Glavin, and Thomas got in, but I'm disappointed in my colleagues. I think Craig Biggio should have gotten in, and I think Jack Moore should have gotten in. And Biggio came within two votes. He's going to get in. But I haven't talked to anybody yet who didn't vote for him, but I'd like to find out why somebody wouldn't vote for Craig Biggio. I mean, this is a guy that defined the Astros and hit 3,000 hits. I don't know what more you'd want.
Is he guilty by association because he played with Jeff Bagwell and Ken Caminiti? And we know that Ken Caminiti, the late Ken Caminiti, admitted that he had used. But is it a guilt by association with Craig Biggio?
It shouldn't be. It could be. That might be it. But we had a lot of discussion on this in December, and I don't think it was even fair to lump Jeff Bagwell into the issues of steroids because it's all innuendo with Jeff Bagwell, certainly not Ken Caminiti, but it's all innuendo with Bagwell, and if there were any whispers on Craig Biggio, that would be it too. Maybe, you know, he could well have, but there's no links and there's no credible evidence that said he did.
Mel, I have not been very nice to sports writers years past with their votes. I just don't understand where they come from. You need to help me out, man. I mean, some of these guys aren't voting, or they're voting because they don't have an I in their name or something. Why aren't some of these voters, I mean, some of them didn't vote for Greg Maddux today.
Yeah, I think part of the Greg Maddux vote was a protest vote because nobody wanted, some guys did not want to vote for players that played in the steroids era. There's a lot of different reasons. I mean, when you give people the right to vote, they have a right to do what they want. And if you disagree with them, you disagree with them. But sometimes it's hard to figure out. Like, I can't figure out why anybody wouldn't vote for Maddux, why anybody wouldn't vote for Craig Biggio. But there's some strange reasons. But at the same time, you don't want to, you don't want to alienate anybody. Everybody can vote exactly how they want to. That's what makes it great.
Because of Maddux not getting in, or Maddux getting in but not being unanimous, and Biggio not getting in, because of these agendas, is there any chance that they could go back and revisit the amount of votes that they have, or is it just handing it out like candy where these individuals are going to continue to keep their spots? Because it does ultimately, I think it does hamper the process.
I don't think it does. I think if Greg Maddux gets 97% of the vote, that's fine. Again, you can't force people to vote the way you think they vote. And you know, I don't think there's a lot. I think that's a stereotype. I think that's an incorrect stereotype where voters are just haphazardly voting for people. I don't think that's true. There's probably a couple, but I don't think overall the electorate is like that. It's self-policing, and I have never really seen it. And if somebody actually said that they're not voting for a guy because they got an I in their name or something like that, it'd be pretty silly. But if you're going to make those accusations, you need to have some very concrete examples. Not just, you know, I disagree with these guys' votes and the way they did it.
I did hear a couple of voters say they didn't vote for some of these guys because of the steroid era, specifically. They, even though they were never found to be guilty, they were not going to vote for them. That's going to be a question that we're going to be needing an answer, which I don't think is going to come for a long, long time.
Yeah, well, the baseball writers, they're all over the map on the steroids issue. Some people think Clemens and Bonds, there isn't enough evidence against them to hold them out, so they vote for them. Another segment of the electorate says that, gee, Clemens and Bond shouldn't be in because they were involved with steroids, even though there's not a smoking gun evidence. In my case, I didn't vote for them because I think we need more time to be certain of that. But they're all over the map on that. This makes it hard. Everybody's blaming the baseball writers for not getting not getting it right and not being able to work through a confusing problem. But it's the players that brought it on. If there was no PEDs in sports, Clemens and Bonds, Palmeiro, Sosa, all those guys would be in the Hall of Fame. And you and I would be debating the merits of Edgar Martinez and Fred McGriff tonight. But yeah. You got to, you know, it's a very confusing issue. It's hard enough to get somebody to an electorate degree on 75% of anything. But the PEDs are difficult. I'd say about 30% think Clemens and Bonds should be in because they don't want to police the sport. And the other percentage says, you know, it is their job to police the sport from the character issue. So, boy, it's tough. It's not easy. It'll take a long time.
Yeah. Guys on the ballot, by the way, they get less than 5%. They do not get back on the ballot. And Rafael Palmeiro was one of those today. He got less than 5% of the vote. Did that surprise you?
No, it didn't, because I think a lot of voters were saying we're not voting for Palmeiro simply because he did have a positive steroids test. And I think that's the difference between Rafael Palmeiro and Clemens and Bonds. There's a little less evidence against Clemens and Bonds, and there isn't. There's some pretty hardcore evidence against Rafael Palmeiro.
He's Mel Antonin, SI.com, here on Sports Talk with Craig and Chris. As a vote in the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame process. So Frank Thomas got in as a slugger from the quote-unquote steroid era, but just talking about Palmeiro and Bonds and Bagwell and Sosa and McGuire, these are guys that may not get in. How is Frank Thomas viewed in that era with the numbers that he put up compared to other hitters, other guys that hit for average, hit for power? How is Frank Thomas different? Why did he get in?
Because there was no concrete evidence that Frank Thomas had taken steroids. Nothing. Not one iota. Not one little granule of evidence that Frank Thomas took steroids. And he basically is a pioneer in the fact that he's the first baseman with 500 home runs, but yet he had this high batting average and high on-base percentage. He started the era of power-hitting first basemen that can hit for an high average and get on base a lot. So that's why Frank Thomas is, in addition to being a two-time American League MVP. But again, he played in the steroids era, but there was never any evidence that he took steroids.
How about Jack Morris? How come Jack, over 15 years, did not get elected to the Hall of Fame?
Well, I think the sabermetrics wing of the electorate won out on this. When you look at Jack Morris's lifetime ERA, 390, everybody was saying, if Jack Morris gets in, that'll be the highest ERA in Hall of Fame history. But I think a lot of the young voters just looked at Jack Morris's stats and said, forget it. I covered Jack Morris in Detroit. I covered him in Minnesota. I covered him in Toronto. I was with him a lot. I saw him pitch. I might have seen him pitch 70 games. And I know from a scout's perspective, from a manager's perspective, and from a fan's perspective, he's a Hall of Famer. The statisticians in our group don't see it that way. That's really too bad, because it's a difference of being there live and reading the stats 15 years later. He got ripped off by the sabermetrics people.
Is the best thing for Jack Morris to get off the ballot and get to the Veterans Committee?
Well, I think he'll get a lot of support on the Veterans Committee. He's up in 2016, and he could go into the Hall of Fame in 2017. But yeah, I mean, I think they will be more sympathetic to his plight. And I think he's got a chance to get in, because, you know, 60-65% of the baseball writers think that he should be. But we'll see. It depends on who's on the Veterans Committee and all that.
All right. Next year, Randy Johnson is available. Pedro Martinez, Doug Mankiewicz. Anybody else I missed? John Smoltz, Gary Sheffield. Yeah. Who do you think could be a shoo-in next year?
Oh, Randy Johnson, Pedro Martinez, John Smoltz. I already know that I'm going to vote for them. This next year will be the easiest ballot in the world, and I will vote for all those guys. And I'm not going to vote for Gary Sheffield, simply because I need more time to digest what he did and hear about what his career was like, because he, too, was at times linked to steroids. So you have to wait and give him time. And that's the sad thing about Palmeiro. He falls off the ballot now, so we needed more time with him, but we didn't get it. And but next year, Johnson. It'll be Johnson, Smoltz, Pedro Martinez, Craig Biggio, and I hope a few others.
Mike Piazza,
maybe? We need to clear the logjam out a little bit.
You know, we had a caller call us earlier, and we were talking about some of the guys from the 80s, like a Dale Murphy and Eric Davis. As we get further away from the mid to late 80s, are some of those guys going to just be completely forgotten, or why are they not in the conversation?
Well, you're talking about Dale Murphy. Dale Murphy was the National League version of Don Mattingly. He had a good career for about half of his career, and then he fell apart. So he's just borderline. I never voted for Dale Murphy. He didn't have 400 home runs. His RBI totals were weak, and he had two very strong seasons. Then he hit some above-average seasons. But overall, just the sustainability of excellence was not there for Dale Murphy. And who was the other guy? Eric Davis.
Eric Davis, yeah.
Excuse me, pretty much the same way. Just not good enough. He didn't have serious enough numbers to say, well, let's look at this guy deeper. He just didn't.
Mel, how can we follow you? What are you doing? You got stuff you're doing tonight on Sirius, or you got stuff you're writing? What's next for you?
I'm on massinsports.com tonight, and I think, throughout the winter, you'll probably see me on SI.com once in a while, and then I'll be doing some Sirius XM radio as well.
Sweet. Good stuff. Hopefully you get back to Sioux Falls here sometime, too.
Yeah, well,
the big metropolis.
Zero, I'll get there, huh? If it gets up to 10 below, I'll be there.
Mel, again, thanks for the time you give us. We follow you all the time. Great work, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, guys.
There he goes. Mel Antonin joining us on the Gas Stop Holiday Fan Line.